listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps. Day 7 review.
Anderson forced to dig out from backhand, then Murray hits a really strong shot into the backhand wing, and that's the winner! Another great job done by Andy Murray.
So Murray marches on to the quarters after beating Kevin Anderson in straight sets, and it was the same story for the top seed.
Backhand from Djokovic, he's passed him, has he? He has! What a pass from Djokovic, who stands and takes the applause. It is a sixth straight quarterfinal at Wimbledon.
And a young Canadian woman is fast becoming the talk of the championships after another impressive display.
Canada's rising star, Eugenie Bouchard, is in to the quarterfinals, and she's come through again in straight sets.
And last year's run-up proved too strong for a former world number one.
And it's an ace from Lazicki to close it out, and a scream to the rafters here. That's a terrific performance from Sabine Lazicki.
Hello and welcome from me, Mary Rhodes, day 7 here at Wimbledon 2014. To help me look back at the day's action, I'm joined by Rupert Bell and Richard Connolly. So, Rupert, highlights for you on this second Monday?
The continued impressive form of Eugenie Bouchard, again winning her match against Serena Williams' conqueror, Lise Cornet. I think, again, she was very impressive. I think the ladies' draw now just looks very open. It's a chance for someone to grab the limelight. Obviously, still got a couple of winners of the title in the field, but the ladies looks very interesting.
And for me, well, Andy Murray able to deal well with the huge serve of Kevin Anderson. We talked so much about the threat that might pose to Murray, but he returned brilliantly. And despite some difficulties when the roof was closed, the match got a little bit closer. He's through, and we have the delight of Murray against Dimitrov to look forward to.
Yes, we do indeed. Let's talk a little bit more about the defending champion. Came up against the big serving South African Kevin Anderson, winning 6-4, 6-3, 7-6. Still yet to drop a set.
Well, I think that's the incredible thing. The way he just got a karma about him. Even when they had to go off for the rain interruption, then the roof's brought on, he then just got on with it and dealt with it, even though he said, I had to sort of adjust my game. And you do. It's suddenly the conditions are different. As we know, in the final of 2 years ago when he lost out to Federer, he was going toe-to-toe with Federer, but once the roof came on, he then lost it rather quickly. But he dealt with it, and that's what I think is the impressive factor from Murray.
The pressure simply will never be as great as it was before he won Wimbledon. Yeah. That's just bearing true all the way through these championships. He's playing delightfully well. He got 69% of Kevin Anderson's first serves back in play. That's a huge number. The big guy from South Africa only served 9 aces in total. That's just testament to how well Murray's seeing the ball, how well he's reading the game, and how well he's returning generally.
Well, you two clearly both impressed. Let's find out how the defending champion himself felt about the match. He spoke afterwards to Rishi Prasad.
Another straight sets win for you. How would you describe how you played today?
When it was outdoors, I played very well. I was in a good position. And then when we came back indoors, he started to strike the ball a bit better. He started serving better. And I was dropping the ball a little bit shorter than I was the first set and a half. So I had to do a bit more running at the end. I got a bit tentative, but it was a good win because he was playing very well at the end, making it very tough for me.
A lot of experts watching were really impressed by your anticipation today. Was that help from the fact that you'd practiced with Kevin?
Not really. I mean, some days you get lucky with that, some days you don't. I mean, you pretty much guess a lot of the time, and you know, sometimes you go the wrong way and sometimes you go the right way, and thankfully today I picked a few good ones.
When you get to the quarterfinals, you're playing as well as you are at the moment. Does it matter who you face next?
All of the matches are tough. Everyone that's in the quarterfinals of slams are playing, you know, top tennis. You know, and I just have to do what I've got to do and concentrate on my side of the court. And if I play well, I'll make it tough for them.
Last year, as the tournament progressed, there seemed to be a build-up of belief that took you all the way to the final. Are you feeling that again this year from the crowds, from the public?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just trying to stay concentrated when I'm out on the court. I don't worry about everything else that's going on outside of it, and everything that's said. I just try to play tennis and not worry about the rest. But you know, when you play in front of a crowd like that, it gives you a big lift, raises your intensity, and it makes it hard for the opponents as well in tight situations. So the crowd always helps.
And your mum was definitely here watching you today.
Yeah, well, Jamie wasn't playing, so she didn't have a choice to make, thankfully.
Smile on Andy Murray's face there, referring to the evening last week when Jamie Murray was playing in doubles and mum Judy only just made it back into the player's box to watch the conclusion of Andy's match. And one of the things that leapt out there from what the defending champion was saying was that he said, well, you know, I just try to stay concentrated. That might seem like an obvious thing to do, but it hasn't always been the case in the past, has it?
No, I was struck when he said he just got a little bit tentative towards the end of that third set against Anderson that went to a tiebreak. It's only the second tight set he's really played in these championships to this point, and the first tiebreak set. Because just thinking back to last year, and I commentated on the quarterfinal match he played against Fernando Verdasco, which got really troublesome for Murray because he was two sets down in that one. And when that got really close, there were just moments where you felt he could perhaps be a little bit more aggressive. But I mean, you know, we're picking tiny little holes in what has been a pretty much flawless week in a bit so far.
Second serve might be the only thing that's an issue. Sometimes that can look a little bit vulnerable, but the key factor is he's only lost three service games in his first four matches, which is a terrific effort, and his service returns, that is just a piece of magic.
First serve today was very reliable, right. So there was less need to rely on the second serve.
Well, next up for Murray is Gregor Dimitrov. Now, we had quite a bit of rain at Wimbledon on the seventh day of the championships, and Dimitrov had to cope with that of going on and off and having his match interrupted. So let's hear from him now on playing in between the rain breaks.
As you know, the weather is not, it hasn't been very pleasant, but I mean, you got to go through matches like that. I'm happy that I just finished in three sets, and you know, I can get a good day off tomorrow.
Just how precarious were the conditions? Did you ever come to any grief out there at all?
Well, I mean, it's pretty tricky. I think in a way you want to... my movement was, I think, pretty good. But in the same time, there were still a few spots that was kind of slippery. And, I mean, the ball wasn't jumping properly. But, you know, it is what it is. And I just got to take it.
And above all else, you're playing so tremendously well. It's carried on from Queens through to here. So what's the verdict going forward for you now?
Well, my quarterfinal match. You know, this is something that I've been waiting for a really long time, and finally, I think the work that I've put in really, really, you know, shows up, and I'm just excited to go for another match, and you know, I'm sure it's going to be a good court to play on.
That's Gregor Dimitrov speaking to the BBC's Phil Jones after Dimitrov beat Leonardo May in straight sets 6-4, 7-6, 6-2. Well, there's no doubt that Dimitrov is in great form, isn't he, coming off the back of Queens?
Yes.
Yes, we know. I think he's grown up, hasn't he? He's just matured physically, mentally. Everything seems to be right about him at the moment. And the way he has... Queens was another just big moment for him because it is an important tournament. If you look at the Roll of Honour of Queens, you know, it's terrific. And it's a launch pad to having the confidence coming in here. He's a former junior champion, but it's the way now he is sort of a more mature physical player. And I think that's the key element to why he's playing so well.
Tremendous maturity, psychologically speaking, as well today. I mean, there was the one tight set, the middle set, which he won 8-6 in the tiebreak against Leonardo Maia. And for a younger guy, he just seems to have terrific control of what he's doing and the situation, far more so than players who are senior to him. I mean, his all-round game looks in terrific shape. He's an impressive guy, full stop.
And what sort of an opponent will he pose to Andy Murray? Because from the last couple of matches for the defending champion, we've said this is going to be a tougher test, this is going to be a tougher test. He's yet to drop a set. Do you think that Dimitrov could be the man to take a set from him?
Very definitely. This man's got an all-court game. He's got the confidence, and that is the important thing. The crowd is going to be rooting for one man, and that is a factor. And Murray will feed off that support. But Dimitrov doesn't strike me as a player who will be bothered by that per se. Clearly, it's going to be intimidating, but he does seem to have the ability to cope with it. And he, at the start of the championships, outside the Big Four, was rated the... he was fifth ranked in the betting. And that's why I think he's more than capable of causing an upset. I looked at the start of the championship and I thought, hey, he's value. And I think my heart says, of course, Murray. And my head.
But your betting slip says Dimitrov.
But my betting slip says Dimitrov, because I do think he's got a huge... One year, I think he can win this.
It's just a question of whether or not it's now.
Yes.
I mean, he looks like no situation will faze him. But then I suppose playing Murray on centre court at Wimbledon in the quarterfinals is like no situation he's faced before. So, by far the biggest test that Murray has had to this point, and the point at which it gets deadly, deadly serious, and the point at which perhaps the fact that he's come through in straight sets all the way and has played less tennis than he has done at any previous Wimbledon to this point, maybe that stands him in good stead, because those powers, those reserves that he will need, I think, in the coming matches, he could put them to good use against Dimitrov. But I think it's definitely going to be more than three sets this match. Definitely.
So Rupert's going for Dimitrov, or at least his wallet
well,
is.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be some reason.
My pick at the start of the tournament, this is where Rupert and I are going head-to-head it's a far less masculine, serious collision. But yeah, my pick at the start of the tournament was Murray,
and mine was Dimitrov. But I'm excited by the prospects that this player could be one of the big talents, and he's emerging. And this is where, in terms of his support within the British eyes, he's really putting down a marker.
Well, talking of talents, but one that's already done it, few problems for the top seed Novak Djokovic. He beat Joe Wilfried Tsonga in straight sets. How good did Djokovic look to you?
Yeah, excellent. Really, really sharp. First two sets, very comfortable. I mean, in relative terms. The third set was an absolute barnstormer, because Tsonga started really hitting the ball terrifically well, started really riding the emotion that was within centre court, because they desperately wanted him. He's one of the great, you know, players from overseas in the UK that people love to come out and watch. He's got that X factor about him, that power, that ability to do something that takes your breath away. And he wasn't quite in that kind of mood for the first two sets, but then he started to produce it and lift everyone's spirits around centre court. And nobody would have been sad amongst the capacity crowd if he managed to nick that third set on a tiebreak.
Yeah, the Frenchman came to life in the tiebreak, didn't he, Rupert?
Well, he's such a... I enjoy always watching Joe Wilfried Tsonga. He's fun to watch. Once he does need occasionally to be cranked up, but I think he started... But Djokovic didn't allow him to play early on. And that standard of Djokovic's play, just when he needed to turn up the heat, to break and then get through the set, he always felt, and some of the serving in the first part of the match for Djokovic, Tsonga just had no answer to it.
And the great thing about the top players in the men's game is that when anybody lifts their game against them and lays down a challenge for them, they can rise again above it. Yeah. And that's what Djokovic did. And that was great to see. He tested him and Djokovic just passed it.
Well, let's hear what Djokovic had to say after the match when he spoke to Phil Jones.
Tremendous play. You knew you were going to have to take it up a notch, and it looked like you did.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the third set, he started to serve very well, very efficient, very strong. So it was very hard to get him into the rally, get the return, back in play. I saved a couple of break points on 4-3, third set. It was important to hang in there, get into the tie break. I mean, tie break, we both served well. I got an opportunity on 6-5, second serve. I used it and played a great match.
That last point, fantastic return. But what was the discussion at the end? A bit of confusion?
Yes, I mean, I thought the line umpire called it in, but he actually did, but it was an overrule. Chair umpire called it out, so I challenged in. It was good, luckily for me.
And overall, the performance you delivered today, give us your assessment of how good you feel in yourself. We saw you take a tumble the other day and you hurt your shoulder. Was that okay? You feeling good in yourself going forward?
Yes, feeling good. Had 2 days off, could recover a little bit. First week I had a couple of tough matches, especially in the second round against Stepanek. So this is definitely helpful, to win in straight sets against a quality player like Joe, and looking forward to the next challenge.
And that next challenge comes in the form of Marin Cilic, who beat Jeremy Chardet in straight sets, Richard.
Yes, a match that I saw on court 18, and Cilic in sets 2 and 3 was very much the dominant player. But in the first set, he was a little tentative, and Chardet, powerful player with a big serve, actually almost a mirror image of Cilic at times, both tall right-handers who were booming the strokes down, he took it to a tie break, and Shardy had a set point at 6-5 in the breaker, but Cilic was serving and served an ace. And every time Shardy had a little glimmer of hope in that match, the serve of Cilic was there that frustrated him. And the Frenchman just started to wear a face that spoke of his inability to get beyond Cilic, that for everything he threw at Cilic, he knew that his opponent was going to have an answer. In short, Cilic served excellently, 33 aces. And so if Djokovic got used to a big serving from Songa today, then he's going to have to expect a lot more of it.
The influence of Goran Ivanišević on the serve, and that will be a key factor, that he's got to maintain that level of serve to give any sign of weakness on Djokovic, who, of course, is a brilliant returner, but he's got to have to maintain that throughout.
The question mark, I agree, the question mark I would have about Cilic is that only once he'd got on top against Shardy did we see the full flourish in his game. He started hitting a few glorious cross-court backhands. He started to advance to the net. He won 15 out of 20 points when he did come forward, but he was very reluctant in the early stages. And it was as if he needed to win the first set in order to come out of his shell a little bit against Djokovic.
That's
He's
not
probably
gonna
not going to have that opportunity. So he needs to have more conviction in his play from the very beginning.
And other results from the men's draw. Stanislav Wawrinka advanced to the fourth round for the first time in 5 years with a 6-3, 6-3, 6-4 win over Dennis Easterman. He plays for Feliciano Lopez, who saw off John Isner in four sets. Kei Nishikori needed just four games to finish his game with his match with Simone Bolelli, coming through 3-6, 6-3, 4-6, 7-6, 6-4. That was a match that was carried over from Saturday, and he now plays Milos Raonic. So, on to the ladies' singles. Now, definitely one of the rising stars in the world of tennis, proved to us why she's being hailed as the next big thing. Eugenie Bouchard, the 20-year-old from Canada, opened up proceedings on centre.
Bouchard again, right on the baseline, so much depth. But Cornet is out. What a star she's been, putting out Serena Williams. But Canada's rising star, Eugenie Bouchard, is in to the quarterfinals. And she's come through again in straight sets, as she has done in her three previous matches. And the 20-year-old former junior champion here has put out Elise Cornet, who just found this a match too far. And she threw 7-6, 7-5.
Rupert, how impressed were you by what you saw?
Hugely. I've been impressed with Bouchard from day one when I first saw her win here in the juniors. You just knew there was something about her. But as she has said herself, the transition from juniors to the senior level is quite a step. And what she's been working on is the mental side. And she is one tough cookie mentally. And there were times when she had to raise her game, because Cornet, I thought there might be a bit of a hangover from a match against Williams, because also she'd played every match was a three-setter, and she'd played over 6 hours of tennis. So you just thought, well, maybe she's running on empty. But no, she really threw down the gauntlet to her, and it was a terrific match. But Cornet, in the end, just didn't have the strength of mind, probably more than anything else, to derail Bouchard, who is definitely only going one place in the women's game, and that's to the top.
Top marks to Alize Cornet, because yeah. I saw her, a little glimpse of her first-round match against Šmídlová of Slovakia, and she went 4-love down in the opening set, at which point she suffered from a nosebleed on court, Alize Cornet, and I thought, my goodness, she's in real trouble here. She's going to go out in round number one. But she turned that match around and has ended up having a terrific Wimbledon. She might have gone a little step further, but Bouchard, I mean, how long is it going to be before Bouchard and Dimitrov are at the champions' dinner as gentlemen's and ladies' champions? We can see that in the very near future. Again, the question is simply whether or not it's this year.
And that betting slip has Bouchard on it too as well. So, but that aside, we all know she's a talented player. And the young guns, and with the way the draw's panning out now, is looking very interesting for her.
Well, let's find out how the Canadian felt now that she's through to the quarterfinals.
I'm really excited. I'm proud of the way I fought out there today. It really wasn't easy, and she's Alize is a really good player and got back a lot of balls, so I had to really try finish the point, which I did successfully sometimes.
You mentioned when you came off court that it's a bit hot and humid under the roof. Your first experience of it, so how did you find it?
Yeah, finally I got to play under the very famous roof. You know, happy for that experience. It was definitely humid. I think, I don't know, there's less air circulation or something, but it was tough, but it's the same for both of us, so... You know, the climate's always the same for both players.
I think last week when you were speaking to a few reporters, you mentioned about going deep into the second week of Wimbledon. You're into the quarterfinals now. How excited are you about the prospects of what's still to come?
I'm very excited, but I need to stay focused. You know, I have another match, just focused on one match at a time. And, you know, it's very important for me to not be distracted and really keep my focus on that. But, you know, this is what I've worked so hard for, you know, to be in the quarters at Wimbledon. I'm very excited, but, you know, I want to go another step. I want to keep going.
Well, she's certainly learnt the mantra, hasn't she? One step at a time. I've got to keep focused. It's one match at a time. It didn't take very long for her to learn that mantra.
No, I mean, we heard the same thing from Dimitrov, didn't we, in the men's singles a short time ago. I thought you could hear tremendous excitement bubbling through in her voice, though. And an excitement that I suppose you have to try and temper. But lovely to see her exuberant on court. And if it is to be Maria Sharapova, her opponent in the next round, well, what an intriguing quarterfinal that will be.
Yeah, the match between Angelique Kerber and Maria Sharapova didn't make it on court, actually, so that has been carried over until Tuesday. One other result to bring you to. Sabina Lisicki, last year's runner-up, she beat Anna Ivanovic 6-3, 3-6, 6-1. Now, the biggest upset of the day came on court three. The fourth seed, Agnieszka Radwanska, beaten in straight sets by Ekaterina Makarova. Rupert, you watched the latter stages of that. What happened?
Well, feeling is, just didn't look happy out there, Radwanska. It's a shame. The number four seed, you know, former finalist, people rave about her game, and she is. And she's been so consistent in the top four for goodness knows how long. You know, and she, to have a chance here, and on paper, should have been able to beat Makarova. But 6-3 went the first set, but the 5-love they went off when the rain came. She then came out, and even then, that one service came, and she was serving too. She should have held serve, but she just didn't seem to have... The mind didn't seem to be on the job today, and it's a shame, because she's got a lot of supporters out there, but it just didn't happen. But full marks to Makarova, who is a good player, but she's not a player that someone of Radwanska's pedigree should have been worried about.
Radwanska's game is glorious to behold, usually. She's got so much variety in it. She brings a smile with the way she plays. It's not about huge power tennis. It's about bringing something different to the court. And so it's kind of sad to see when
smiling today. And that was a shame. And, OK, it was a miserable day weather-wise, but I think her mood reflected the weather. And as a result, another of the big seeds goes out.
Makarova, interestingly, though, is the only lady in the bottom half of the draw to have won a tour title this year. So while we're kind of seeing her as the number 22 seed, somewhat unheralded, not one of the huge names, but there's a little bit of evidence at least that she has some form.
Great disappointment for Madison Keys in her match that was carried over from Saturday. She had to retire before she could even begin to resume that. So Yaroslava Shvedova is through to the fourth round. And elsewhere, Barbara, well, this is one of your favourites, isn't it, Richard?
I know what's coming now. Yeah. Zalavova Stritsova.
You had to say it because the commentary that you had on that match the other day, when you just went double barrels all the way through, was hugely impressive.
We are impressed.
Anyway,
I spent too much time saying her name and not enough time describing what she was doing on court. But
you'll be
you
delighted. You may get the chance to give it both barrels again. The Czech beat the 16th seed Caroline Wozniacki in straight sets. She'll play the 6th seed Petra Kvitova, who beat Pang Shui of China 6-3, 6-2. And Lucy Safarova beat her compatriot Teresa Shmitkova, only dropping two games. And, of course, she will now face Makarova. Now, we know that we've had some great tennis in between the rain, which, let's be fair, actually wasn't really forecast. There was supposed to be a 10% chance of some rain on the second Monday of Wimbledon, and it turned out to be a lot more than 10%. But the rest of the week is looking good, I've been assured. We've got sunshine all the way for the rest of the championships, apart from until Saturday, possibly. But that's a long way off. So apart from the tennis, we have had plenty of fun off the court, which is one thing that the rain delay does afford us. Today we had some Andy Murray impressions. I'm amazed that we actually got through to the second Monday before we had these. And possibly, I think the general consensus was that Philip Studd just had the edge. What do you think?
Mary, I was just wondering who that imposter was that you were talking to.
Who
just
are you
now,
calling an imposter?
Because that's clearly not me. No, I mean, I'm delighted to be through, obviously. It was a good win against Kevin. He's got a big serve. He's got a big forehand. And You know, I was 4-2 up in the third. A drop serve, that's careless, to be honest. I'll be... Amelie will tell me off about that later, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm through. I'm happy to play under the roof. Everyone else is dodging the showers, and I don't have to do that.
So Andy Murray, a.k.a. Philip Studd, with a little interjection there from our own Barry Milnes, also chipping in. Fancy go, chaps?
No. No chance.
That's the most frightened I've ever seen you football.
What? Probably very wise.
Next year.
It has now given me an insight into what Philip Studd and Barry Milnes do when they're preparing for matches. I think they have far too much time on their hands, I think. Now, following the exit of John Isner, who was the last remaining American player in the third round, no American man or woman are through to round 16 of Wimbledon for the first time since. Have a guess.
I know the answer to this.
Oh, do you? Okay, yes. Right. Richard.
Oh, 15 years.
No, keep going. And some.
Really?
Oh, yes, and some.
Well, at least I'm not going to be hoist by my own petard if I get it wrong. 1911.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah, give that
my
one a coconut.
My word.
Right, this is time for you to... I know you're both wordsmiths, but I want you to do the opposite of what we normally ask you to do, because normally you're extemporising and you're reaching into your dictionary and your thesaurus. Mm-hmm. But this is the time that I would like your three-word Wimbledon. So it's the second Monday of the Championships, and I want you to sum that up in three words. If you want another 3 seconds of thinking time, I'm going to go with... Smile, style, guile.
Oh, nice. Explain. Doesn't have to rhyme, does it?
No.
Today I would go for rainy day anecdotes.
Hang on, rainy... Yes, and that's okay. Yeah. Rainy day, yeah, it's fine.
Okay, well, I'm trying to work it. Lady seeds out. That's three.
Yes, that's fine. No, that's all right. I'll let you have that.
Right,
let's have a look at the order of play for Tuesday, the 1st of July. The match that was carried over from number one court kicks us off on centre. Angelique Kerber against Maria Sharapova. Thoughts on that one, Rupert?
Maria Sharapova, but again, she will be made to work hard. Kerber is playing some good stuff, and it won't be just an assumption that Sharapova will get through. But clearly, the form that Sharapova is in should be too strong. But Kerber is a feisty little competitor.
I agree. That'll be tough. Three sets for me.
And the Australian that has taken us by storm in the first week, Nick Kyrgios against Rafael Nadal.
I was massively impressed with Rafael Nadal in the previous round. Kyrgios will learn a lot about how he adapts on the really big stage, but Nadal may be in four sets again. He's had that habit of dropping the opening set, hasn't he?
Whereas Dimitrov has now grown into the man we know a player he is, Kyrgios in 2 or 3 years' time will be big star, but he's already proved it. He's got the potential. And Petra Kvitova, to play your favourite player.
BZS. That's going to be a lovely match. Yeah. I think Kvitova's played the best of all the players I've seen. BZS, great variety in her game.
Roger Federer will walk through against Robredo in the opening match on court number one.
And then to finish off on number one, we have Lucy Safarova against Ekaterina Makarova.
Three sets, very tight to call.
Thank you to Rupert and to Richard, who you can hear every day the Championships on live at Wimbledon Radio, along with the likes of Wayne Ferreira, Barry Cowan and Jan-Michael Gamble. Now, make sure you join Marcus Buckland and the whole team from 9 o'clock British Summer Time for full uninterrupted coverage and live commentary from the Championships. You can listen to us on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon or TuneIn apps. If you're in the US, you can catch us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, presented by ESPN. And remember, you can tweet your views at Live at Wimbledon using the hashtag Wimbledon. Email us radio@aeltc.com and you can like our Facebook page or send your Wimbledon-related pics via Instagram. So after another great day of tennis at the All England Club, from me, Mary Rhodes, and the whole Live at Wimbledon radio team, thanks for joining us, and it's bye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps.